are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Traina, and I am your host. I cover your New York Giants from a variety of places. You can typically follow my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And there I have a link in my bio to all my work. I also post the daily updates and articles and stuff that I write. So it's all there. And on today's show, we're actually going to take a little break. What we had done is last week we had broken down the positions, the Giant position units. Chris Bisiano of the Giant Insider was kind enough to join me to do the offense. And we also have broken down the defensive side of the ball. Those podcasts are going to start airing tomorrow. What I wanted to do today, however, is I wanted to run an interview that I did with Tony Pauline, who is the publisher and chief scout at draftanalyst.com. And I had Tony come on the program and basically break down for us the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game, the Shrine Game being this weekend, actually. And Tony was nice enough to give us an overview on the quarterbacks, tell us where the depth of the class is, and even give us some names to watch, you know, for the Giants' perspective. So I'm going to air that interview in three parts, and I hope you enjoy it. Here's Tony Pauline.
I'm joined now by Tony Pauline, who is an NFL draft analyst, does a really good job. He's been around. He's done the Senior Bowl. He's done the Combine. He's done the East-West Shrine Game. And Tony, thank you so much for taking time to join the Locked On Giants podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. So, Tony, let's jump right in. I know a lot of people are getting excited about the draft coming up, and I just want to get an overview from you, what you see as the strengths of this class, what you see as the weaknesses, and maybe if you can slant it a little bit towards the Giants' perspective, you know, where you think they're going to really come away with some good players and where they may have to think and go in another direction as far as other positions of need.
Well, when you look at it from an overall point of view, a year ago, everyone was excited about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. This year has the potential to be a historic draft on the defensive line. According to my big board right now, 8 of the top 10 players in this year's draft are defensive linemen. It is an absolutely dominant group. You know, we expect Quinnen Williams of Alabama to enter the draft. He's going to be in the conversation along with Nick Bosa for that first pick. You got Ed Oliver of Houston, who's going to be a top 5 pick. Cleveland Farrell, who has been a sensational player at Clemson. So if you watch the national championship game, he's going to be a top 5 pick. His teammate, Christian Wilkins, who was completely dominant during that national championship game, has been graded by scouts as the top prospect in the nation the past 2 years, even when he was a junior. He's going to be an early pick. Rashawn Gary of Michigan, Raekwon Davis, although he's going back to school. Raekwon Davis, got to leave him out. Josh Allen of Kentucky, very good defensive line front seven or pass rushing draft this year. As far as, you know, when you look at it from the Giants' perspective, it's really not a good quarterback class, although they hold such an early pick, they will be able to get a quarterback early on. It's not a great offensive line class at the top, though when you get into that second and early part of the third day, there'll be good offensive linemen there for him. I think overall, it's just not a good running back class. Not a big fan of the safety class either.
In terms of the quarterback class now, a lot of people have said there's no clear-cut number one. Now, Haskins has, of course, declared for the draft, and I believe Kyler Murray has declared too. Is that correct?
No, Kyler Murray, the rumor is the report yesterday was that the Oakland A's expect Kyler Murray of Oklahoma to declare for the draft. But even if he does, I mean, there are questions about his game. I would disagree. In my opinion, Dwayne Haskins is a clear-cut number one quarterback in this draft. There's no question about it. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. Excuse me. Doesn't have the great body of work, but really just show consistent improvement at Ohio State last season. He's got size. He's got arm strength. He's athletic. Didn't make a lot of bad passes. Didn't force the ball at Ohio State. Came through in the big game. has to got to work on his fundamentals a bit. He's got to improve his downfield accuracy. But in my opinion, he's everything you want at a starting quarterback position. And then there's Daniel Jones of Duke, who's probably also right now a late first-round pick, but I'm sure we'll get into him a little more when we talk about the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Haskins. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he's a sophomore. Is that correct? So he doesn't have the big body of work. Is there some concern, though, you know, that, you know, because he doesn't have that big body of work, that this might be a fluke, or has he just been one of these guys that has a good, solid foundation and who can build upon it?
It's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, you've had guys like Cam Newton, Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets. I mean, Sam Darnold only really played for two seasons at USC. Some coaches, you go back to the Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells had a formula where he wanted quarterbacks to start for 3 years, 30 wins, 30 touchdown passes in 1 year. Some coaches aren't really concerned about that. I mean, Patrick Mahomes only really had one real year at Texas Tech. Coaches are paid to do exactly that, coach football. And then when they see a guy like Dwayne Haskins, who's as big, who's as athletic, who has such a strong arm, they feel that they're going to be able to coach the best out of him. I like quarterbacks to have some sort of body of work behind them. That's just me. But there are others who say, listen, we're just going to turn this guy into a good quarterback.
And, you know, you mentioned Daniel Jones, and I'm sure there are a couple, I think there were a couple of other, Greer, I believe, is in this class. And I apologize that I'm limited on my knowledge of the class, but I know Will Greer is another guy. What have you seen from him? Is he more of a day two type of pick or day three? I mean,
he's right now. I have Will Greer right now as a third round choice. A lot will depend on how well he shows at the Senior Bowl. You know, he's got an excellent arm. He's very inconsistent. There are times you look back at the Texas Tech game this year, where he was throwing dimes down the receivers 40, 45 yards, hitting them in stride, and he was flawless. And then he comes back with two bad performances. So it's a matter of getting him to play at a high level on a consistent basis. He's got that upside ability. Drew Locke of Missouri is someone that a lot of people like. He's probably physically the best quarterback in this draft as far as his build, as far as his arm strength, as far as his athleticism. But he's even more inconsistent than Will Greer. He's a guy who will make NFL-type passes on one down, and then the next series, he'll make some head-scratching decisions. You wonder what he was thinking or what he was looking at. You go back to the Alabama game this year. On one play, he throws a pass that probably went 40 yards in the air into the corner of the end zone, threw his receiver free. It was an absolutely magnificent pass. The next set of series, they're rushing him. He fumbles the ball. It fell out of his hands. I mean, it was a pedestrian play, and that's what you're getting with Drew Locke. You're getting a guy that's got a high upside, but he also has a large amount of downside risk in his game. You look at Ryan Finley of North Carolina State. Let me go back to Drew Locke. Drew Locke is a guy could slide into the late part of round one. I think he's more of a second-day pick. Ryan Finley of North Carolina State, he's the most consistent of all of them. He gets it between his ears. He's got great field vision. He has a great feel for the position. He's very accurate, but he lacks the great arm strength. He lacks the ability to drive the ball down the field. He'll also be at the Senior Bowl. You watch Senior Bowl practices, those one-on-ones, when it's just the defensive back and the receiver and they're running go patterns 40, 45 yards down the field, if Ryan Finley can drive the pass into the deep zone, his draft stock is going to improve. If his long passes tend to hang in the air, that's going to be a red flag.
Tony, before we continue on with the discussion about the prospects and all, I wanted to get your take on Eli Manning, because I don't think I have ever seen a player so split the fan base, so split the media. You have people who believe that Eli can still make the throws, he can still function, but he needs obviously better protection around him. You've got those that believe that he is just flat out finished and they should move on from him. I don't know how much you've studied him, but from what you do know of him, where do you stand, objectively speaking, as to where he is at this point in his career?
You're going to have to get ready for the post-Eli Manning era with the New York Giants. There's no doubt about it. The offensive line hasn't helped him. The temperamental receivers and the inconsistency at receiver hasn't helped him. It seems that he's on one page and the receivers aren't on the same page as him, especially his You know, his main weapon, Beckham. He's gotten pounded. They really haven't had a consistent running game. When you're a guy like Eli Manning and you're getting up there in years and you're not the most mobile quarterback, you need to be reliant on more of the other pieces around you, as opposed when you're younger, you got the stronger arm, you're more resilient. You know, you can do more by yourself. I hope the Giants either trade for a quarterback or draft a quarterback and basically come to some sort of contract negotiations with Eli so he can finish out one more year in the New York Giants uniform. I think that would be best for Eli, for the organization, as well as the fans.
Interesting thing, because a lot of people also look at the upcoming free agency class, and I know Teddy Bridgewater is a name that's been floated. Nick Foles is a name that's been floated. I don't see the Eagles letting Nick Foles get away, and I'd be surprised if the Saints let Bridgewater get away. What about you?
You got to look at the contract situations. You know, Foles is an interesting one. Just because a player has a success at one organization doesn't translate to the other. Look at Case Keenum. I mean, Pat Shurmur made Case Keenum look like an all-world quarterback, and he was terrible this year at Denver. I have a lot of faith in Pat Shurmur. I think he's great with quarterbacks. You know, it may be better for the Giants to get a veteran-type quarterback and have Pat Shurmur work with a veteran quarterback rather than draft one. That has to be a consideration. You mentioned Bridgewater. You mentioned Foles. I mean, you got to wait and see what happens out in Oakland with Derek Carr. Is John Gruden sold on Derek Carr? Does John Gruden fall in love with Dwayne Haskins and want to trade Derek Carr? So, you know, I think that is an option that the Giants should and will look into.
And in terms of, you know, Eli Manning, you know, it's obviously, yes, they do have to move on from him at some point because he can't play indefinitely. But do you think the Giants can get by another year with him as the quarterback if you know, all things don't fall into place?
It depends on what your definition of get by in is. I mean, do I think that the Giants are going to turn it around and be a 9-7, 10-6 team next year with Eli Manning that's going to contend for the playoffs? I don't think so. And it may not be to their advantage. I mean, if they're going to, they may be better off, I hate to say this, with a 5-6-7-1 season and continue to go through the rebuilding process. I just don't see Eli Manning at this point in time, as much as he's loved and understandably so by the fan base of the New York Giants for what he's done, I just don't think he's the type of quarterback that can pick up a team and carry it on his shoulders the way Philip Rivers has or Tom Brady has. And we're even seeing those guys kind of take a step back from where they were.
Hey, Giant fans. NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be the person with no rooting interest this year with Super Bowl 53 just around the corner. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, they're committed to excellent customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Remember, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the postseason, you've got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON in setting up your account. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back, New York Giant fans, to the Locked On Giants podcast. You're with Patricia Traina, and we're currently running an interview that I taped a couple weeks ago with Tony Pauline of NFL Draft Analyst. He does a really good job breaking stuff down, and he will be at the Senior Bowl. He will be at the East-West Shrine Game, and Tony is sharing some thoughts about this year's draft prospects and how they might fit in with the New York Giants' needs. So let's continue the interview, and I hope you continue to enjoy it.
Tony, let's talk now. Let's spin ahead to the two All-Star games that are coming up, starting with the East-West Shrine. Can you give us a little preview as to, you know, the rosters? I know those are set. And just what should people, you know, fans be looking for in that game? Who are some of the players to keep an eye on?
The Shrine game is sort of like a second-tier All-Star game. Sometimes, you've had the Teron Armsteads, you've had the Jimmy Garoppolos that have come out of that game. But they're primarily, if they're second-day picks, they're mainly late second-day picks, primarily third-day picks. I will say this. this year's roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is really impressive. And I think it could be geared towards the New York Giants' needs. You know, depending on what they do with Olivier Vernon, the Giants may be in the need for a sort of stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker who can rush the passer, especially if, you know, Lorenzo Carter doesn't really start to kick it into gear. You got guys like they see the Shrine Game just announced Jordan Brailford of Oklahoma State, the fourth-year sophomore. He's going to be in the game. He was a guy who was a sack master at Oklahoma State. He primarily came out of a defensive end three-point stance, but he projects to outside linebacker, gets a lot of pressure up the field. He's a guy to watch. Landis Durham out of Texas A&M, again, another undersized college defensive end who's likely going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker at the next level. Durham, it's amazing that Durham's in this game. Durham came into the season graded as a top 45 pick by NFL scouts. He had a decent year, didn't have a knockout year, but he's a terrific athlete, goes about 6'2", 252 pounds, runs and plays in the low 4.7s, constantly getting pressure up the field. If he's not sacking the quarterback, he's forcing the quarterback to move from the pocket. And again, another guy who's probably going to stand up over tackle. So I think those are two guys to watch, especially from a Giants point of view. Everybody should watch them because they're going to be the top two players next week at practice and during the game. You got some good cornerbacks there. Jamal Peters of Mississippi State, again, a guy who was graded as a second-round pick by scouts. Outstanding size, 6'1.5", 215 pounds, very athletic. Physical, good ball skills, missed a portion of the season, of the 2018 season with an injury, rebounded well. When he came back, he looked like he was improving every week. He's a guy who could go third round. And then there's Michael Jackson, the cornerback from Miami of Florida, not the singer. He's a guy who's a solid early third day pick, a fourth round selection, solid ball skills, a guy that you can line up in nickel or dime packages at the next level. So the Shrine Game right now, on the defensive side of the ball anyway, is going to have a lot of talent, a lot of guys that could end up in the top 100 selections.
Interesting, because that's, like you said, that's usually like a second to third day group of people. And it just sounds like the defensive side, and you're not the first person to tell me this, but, you know, just sounds like the defensive side is going to be absolutely rich. And that's, of course, an area where the Giants desperately, desperately need help after seeing that defense, you know, struggle so much. They need help at safety, cornerback, you know, pass rusher, as you mentioned. They could probably add a few more defensive linemen. Tony, you mentioned at the start of the program about defensive linemen that it was a very rich class for those guys. Are they primarily of the 3-4, the 4-3, or are they just kind of versatile enough to fit any system?
I think they're versatile enough, especially the guys at the top. To line up in any system. And more importantly, you know, they are three down players. I mean, Quinnen Williams, I think he could play nose tackle in certain one gap schemes. I think he could play defensive tackle in four man fronts. I think you could even kick him out to end because he's so athletic in a three man front. Nick Bosa, the same thing in the sense that I think he can be an end in a four man front, or he can be a defensive end in certain three man lines. Cleveland Farrell, he's a guy who can come out of a three-point stance in a four-man front. You can line him up. You can stand him up over tackle. Christian Wilkins, same sort of situation as Quinnen Williams. I mean, he's a little bit bigger, 314 pounds, about 20, 25 pounds bigger. But he's so athletic, you know, you can use him as a one-gap nose tackle. You probably could use him at end in a three-man front because of his athleticism and explosion. Rashawn Gary, more of a right now a 4-3 end, but a guy that's got excellent size and growth potential. He could eventually develop into a two-gap end or defensive end on three-man front. So I think these guys have the versatility to see some action in a variety of fronts as rookies, and as they physically mature, they'll be able to do anything.
And what about the Senior Bowl? Let's talk about that for a moment, because usually that particular All-Star game draws, I think, a larger group of players, guys who are more likely to be day one picks. How do you look at those rosters, and what should fans be excited about?
Well, when you look at it from a New York Giants point of view, I think the Senior Bowl really shapes up well for them. First thing is you got to go back. I've been to every Senior Bowl practice since 2000. I haven't missed one. So I'm going on my 19th year or whatever the heck it may be. And the Senior Bowl is a kingmaker at the quarterback position. What do I mean? I was there and watched Carson Palmer and David Carr basically secure their spot as the first pick of the draft because of their performances at the Senior Bowl. I watched Philip Rivers go from a late first round pick to the fourth selection of the draft after a great week of practices at the Senior Bowl. I saw the excitement around Joe Flacco, who entered the Senior Bowl as a second round selection, mid second round selection. He was so phenomenal at the Senior Bowl, he improved his draft stock a full round. Carson Wentz, another guy, went from someone who was thought about it to be a mid first round pick, became the second selection of the draft. And then last year you had Baker Mayfield. Now, all those guys improved their draft stock for a variety of reasons. Flacco was the arm strength. Rivers, it was the accuracy. Carson Wentz, it was the leadership skills. Baker Mayfield, it was his interviews. So you got to go in, you got to know that. The Senior Bowl is the kingmaker. And why I say it works out, it really works out well for the Giants is basically you're going to have every top-rated quarterback at the Senior Bowl who's eligible for the 2019 draft, not named Dwayne Haskins. I go back to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones right now on my board is a late first-round pick. But if Daniel Jones does everything that scouts ask him, he shows arm strength and accuracy in the one-on-ones and is able to drive the deep throws. In the full scrimmages, you know, he shows a lot of ball security. He doesn't make any bad throws. He interviews well. He shows the type of leadership that Carson Wentz does. There's no doubt in my mind that Daniel Jones can jump into the top 10 of this year's draft. Now, people may say I'm crazy, but I'm going based on history from what I've seen and what I've experienced at the Senior Bowl from guys like Philip Rivers, you know, making almost a full round the jump in their draft stock because of their performance. So there, and the thing about the way, other reason why it works out for the Giants is it takes a lot of the guesswork out for them. And what do I mean by that? You know, the combine now is a large media spectacle, and people complain that, well, these guys are running around and throwing passes in shorts and a T-shirt. And I understand that criticism. The combine also tests athletic skills, and you have medical exams there and psychological exams. So it's a lot deeper than what people just see on NFL Network. Well, you know, the Senior Bowl fills in a lot of the blanks because the Senior Bowl is sort of the combine with padded practice because these guys are going to be hitting. The quarterbacks are going to be under the rush. The quarterbacks are going to be asked or going to be told they have to make NFL-type passes and get out of their comfort zone from where they were in college. So whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Drew Lock, whether it's Ryan Finley, before I talked about Ryan Finley throwing the deep pass, Jarrett Stidham's another guy coming off a bad Auburn, coming off a bad 2018 campaign, but he was terrific in 2017. It's going to give the Giants the top-rated quarterback, not named Dwayne Haskins. They're going to be basically put through all the NFL motions in pads and full scrimmage. And from an offensive line point of view, I mean, you're going to have four of the top centers at the Senior Bowl. You're going to have Elgton Jenkins of Mississippi State, Eric McCoy of Texas A&M, Garrett Bradbury, North Carolina State, and Reisner of Kansas State. I mean, these guys are versatile. Some of these guys can play guard or center. So if the Giants want to, you know, look at adding some strength or adding some prospects into at that interior offensive line position, they will be there at the Senior Bowl going through, you know, the repetitions. And again, the Senior Bowl, it's not just practice. It's NFL type of practice. Players are required to bend their knees, get their hands up, basically implement NFL techniques. So I think the Senior Bowl really is geared well towards what the New York Giants will be looking for in the upcoming draft.
Welcome back, New York Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and you are listening to an interview that I did a few days ago with Tony Pauline. He is the senior draft analyst at draftanalyst.com. He is going to be at the East-West Shrine Game. He is going to be at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine, does a lot of work on the draft prospects and had a lot of good information that he has given so far on this interview and that is still to come up on this segment 3 of the interview. So sit back, relax, enjoy the conclusion of the interview, and thanks as always for listening.
Some of the hidden gems, guys that maybe are making some noise in the NFL scouting community, but basically haven't hit the radar or, you know, of the draft analysts and people that follow the draft.
Let's call a couple guys. Let's go with one local guy from Temple, Rock Yassin, who was a cornerback, decent size, just about 6 foot tall, great ball skills. entered the season graded as a street free agent by scouts is probably going to go second round, maybe third round, depending on how fast he runs. I mean, if you're looking for a physical corner with excellent ball skills, you got to watch Rock Ya-Sin at the Senior Bowl. An offensive tackle from Alabama State, Titus Howard, entered the season with a fifth-round grade, plays left tackle at Alabama State. I think he's more of a guard, very athletic, a guy that you can use in a zone-blocking system. There was some talk that Titus Howard could end up as a second-round choice. Presently, I have him graded as a third-round pick, but he's a guy to watch. Jermaine Pratt, the outside linebacker from North Carolina State, outstanding measurable, 6'2.5". About 240 pounds, runs and plays in low 4.6s, and he's a three-down linebacker. He's not just a pass rusher. He's a guy who can drop in coverage, stays with his assignments. He's outstanding in pursuit. And one more offensive lineman, a guy who's a favorite of mine, Chris Lindstrom of Boston College. Played tackle, played guard at Boston College. He's a Chris Snee type, if I'm going to kind of relate it to former New York Giants. He's not as big or as strong as Snee, but he's nasty. He's very good in a small area. He's got an NFL lineman's build. He's got terrific upside. And he's a guy who can help himself at the Senior Bowl, but regardless, is someone who I think is going to have a long career at the next level.
And if you're the Giants and you keep that number 6 overall pick, is it a slam dunk in your mind, quarterback, or do you maybe dip into the defensive side of the ball, or is it deep enough to where you might feel comfortable to wait until the second day to get your defensive players?
If Dwayne Haskins is there, I'm taking Dwayne Haskins. There's no doubt about it. I think Haskins is the type of guy that Shermer can develop and turn into a very productive starting quarterback at the next level. And again, I think if they keep Eli Manning, which I hope they do, or I think they should do, for the franchise sake, for the fan's sake, you know, you don't have to play Dwayne Haskins. You don't have to start him. In 2019, you can basically do, you know, what Kansas City did with Mahomes, sit him for a year, let him, you know, ease into the game, let him learn from the sidelines. Maybe you put him on the field on occasion. But right now, the way it's shaking out, I think the Giants have to look at Dwayne Haskins if he's available when they are called to the clock.
And, of course, there's always the possibility that he won't be. I know last year, you know, Baker Mayfield was linked to the Giants. I mean, it's just so crazy how unpredictable the draft is. And, you know, Tony, in your experience, do you find that you know, the boards that are laid out by the draft analysts really vary that much from what the NFL actually ends up doing?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. You know, I think my issue being in this business so long, I think there are too many people that are heroes on draft day rather than what eventually happens to these players 2 or 3 years down the road. So, you know, everybody wants to compare, you know, who had the most correct mock draft or the most correct top 100. And that's great on draft day. But the fact is these guys, you're evaluating these players, and if you're a team, you're selecting these players for what they're going to do for you 2-3 years down the road. So really the best way to do it is let's look at the draft boards for this year, the way they were set up in 2014, because these guys have been, or 2015, because these guys have already been in the league for 3 years. You know, I don't, when you draft weekend, all it is names on a piece of paper. And people get excited about that. We had a great draft, and that's fine. That's what the league wants. That's part of the allure of the NFL draft. Basically, you know, the average fan can kind of match wits with the general manager, if you will. But the fact is it's names on a piece of paper. Now you've got to take those names on that piece of paper and transition it into production on the football field. And there are some franchises that have historically been able to do that, extract the most talent from their players. The Giants have had peaks and valleys as far as their ability to do it. And there are some franchises just never seem to get it right. I will say this, getting back to the Giants and Dwayne Haskins, you know, it's going to be interesting, especially with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Giants' former cohort, Tom Coughlin, lurking right behind the Giants and their need at the quarterback position. You know, is there going to be big competition for a guy like Dwayne Haskins? I think there could be if he throws well at the combine, especially with the San Francisco 49ers holding that second pick. and the San Francisco 49ers, who have taken defensive linemen in the first round 3 of the past 4 years, 2 who were top 10 picks. I could see them moving that selection to a team that wants to move up and get Haskins.
And then final question, Tony, something I've always wondered about is some people will say that the colleges, that the college game, you know, it's not even, you know, it's a shell, I guess, for a lack of a better term, of what, for example, you don't have receivers running the entire route tree. You don't have quarterbacks, you know, necessarily playing under center a lot. Do you feel that they closed the gap a little bit or have moved further away from the pro, from the pro level in terms of getting these kids ready for that next level?
Well, I think they've definitely moved away from it. And you know what? The college coaches, their primary responsibility is not getting their players ready for the NFL. Their primary responsibility is to win football games. And if they got a big athletic quarterback who can't read defenses, and the best chance for them to win games or to get for the quarterback to get the ball in the end zone is a one-read system, that's what they're going to do. If their best opportunity to win games is 4 wideouts, with including a tight end that's always lined up in the slot rather than in tight, unlike what we see at the NFL, that's what they're going to do. College coaches are there to win football games with the players that they have. They're not there to develop those players for the next level. There were some systems, like the Alabama system, which implements an NFL-type system. We saw it with Stanford for years. You know, they play an NFL system, and the transition is oftentimes easier for players that come out of those programs. But again, Gus Malzahn of Auburn, you know, even the Dabo Sweeney, you know, Dabo Sweeney is not interested. He's interested in what his players are going to do at the next level, but his primary focus is not developing Christian Wilkins or Trevor Lawrence or Cleveland Farrell for the NFL. His priority is to win football games and win national championships.
Yeah, certainly. So good stuff. Going to be a very, very interesting Shrine Game, an interesting Senior Bowl. And just, I always like to see how it all unfolds, because it's amazing how much stock can rise and drop over the next several weeks leading into the combine and then the pro day workouts. It's just, it's basically a roller coaster, I would think, for a lot of these guys.
And it is that way for a reason. You have to remember, these teams have scouting staffs, and the area scouts go to different areas of the United States, and they will watch college kids practice, and they'll write their reports, and they'll scout these guys. Meanwhile, the coaches of the team, of the New York Giants, of the Philadelphia Eagles, of the New York Jets, you know, basically from July till the end of December, they're focusing on coaching their team. Now, what happens in January is all of a sudden the coaches, who really haven't watched too much, if they watch any college football during the week, all of a sudden now they start watching these players. They go to the Shrine Game. They go to the Senior Bowl. They go to the combine workouts of the players at their respective positions, the defensive linemen, the linebackers, the offensive linemen. And now all of a sudden their input, you know, starts to take place. So you may have a scout who has a player graded as a fourth rounder. All of a sudden a coach, and I don't agree with this, but a coach may go to the Senior Bowl practices, fall in love with a guy, say, we got to have that guy. And a guy who is generally considered a fourth round prospect all of a sudden shoots up 2 rounds because the coach of whatever franchise watched them practice for 3 days and says we have to have this guy. That's really why a lot of these guys take off, because you get a lot of coaches' input, even to a great an extent general managers, who during the NFL season their primary focus is on their team rather than scouting the games. Once the season's over, all of a sudden that focus shifts to the college game and the college players.
Interesting, phenomenal for sure. Tony, appreciate you coming on. You can find him at draftanalyst.com, and you're on Twitter at Tony Pauline. And Tony, do you have anything special coming up that you want to tell the listeners about?
Well, like you alluded to, I will be at all the Shrine Game practices next week and the following week, the Senior Bowl. We'll have reports at draftanalyst.com. We will be doing daily podcasts after each day of Shrine Game practices. We'll be doing a podcast after each practice at the Senior Bowl. So that's going to be at least 2 podcasts a day, as well as other updates. So anything you need as far as the NFL draft is concerned, eventually you'll be able to find it at draftanalyst.com.
and it's a great website. And the other thing, folks, you need to keep in mind, Tony picks up some good rumors that generally come to fruition. So make sure you're following him on Twitter. Make sure you're stopping by draftanalyst.com. You know, the man's connected.
In the right way, let's say.
In the right way. Yes, that's important. Tony, I appreciate you coming on with us, and good luck to you in with the Senior Bowl, the Shrine, and I assume you're going to the Combine as well, right?
Yeah, I'll be at the Combine. I kind of lay low. I work with a few teams there. It's funny. I mean, we can do a show. I first started going to the Combine in 2001, and there was no media center there. It was basically guys like Chris Mortensen and John Clayton, who would literally stand outside the entrance of the workouts with notebooks and battery-operated cassette recorders and would grab people as they came out to talk to them. Or they'd go to Shula's at the Westin, which was the big hangout place, and get information there. Now it's this massive media event, which the league wants, and it's becoming less and less of a scouting event. So I will be at the Combine, as I have been every year since 2001, though. With the crowd that's there, I try and hang out back in and basically blend in with the walls.
I've been going to the Combine now for the last, I want to say, 3 years. And one of these days I want to get to the Senior Bowl, because that one is just – I've heard so many good things about that particular event. And like you said, it's an opportunity to watch them actually going through football practices as opposed to running around in their underwear, as some GMs like to say. So
exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tony, listen, I appreciate you coming on. And again, folks, check him out, draftanalyst.com. And he's on Twitter at Tony Pauline, P-A-U-L-I-N-E. For Tony Pauline, this is Patricia Trina signing off.